Dave Oliphant or Dr. Rose went out and confirmed that these properties...
Call us back to order here.
But they confirmed the properties was usable and my values was correct. It was done by the BOE.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to work on the BOE number 0062, 0063, 0064, and then there was also one that was omitted, but it's 0066. We have to add a determination here. And there is a BOE number written. And then I do have that BOE right here, I believe, somewhere in this pile of paper here. So we're going to be making a phone call. So if everyone...
The property you're highlighted, that's 0062.
So that's our first one on the list. So I'm going to make the phone call right now.
Page 10 is a letter from the lawyer to Don Neely stating that... The assessor's fair market value was $2 million. The court determined damages of $1.4 million, so therefore the fair present fair market value is $552,000.
Which is fuzzy thinking, because we don't know what the court determined before and after values to be.
The court didn't determine it. They're taking the court and subtracting it from what the assessor...
The court came up with the million as a before and after value.
Hi, this is Jim Strophis calling from Taney County, Missouri on a Board of Equalization request.
Okay. Are you looking for Mr. Wallace?
I believe I am.
Okay, yeah. He has gotten caught on another conference call. He told me that he would probably be calling. Would it be possible for him to give you a call just as quickly as he gets off of that conference call?
Actually, what I'd like him to do is call back the clerk's office and let's try to get it rescheduled for some other time. We only allowed, unfortunately, 15 minutes and we allowed 30 minutes. So, if he wants to come call back in the next, few minutes, we can transfer him back into us. So call back the main number he's scheduled with, which was the 546-7200 number.
Is that area code 417?
It is.
Okay.
And if he can call us back in with the next 15, we can hear it, but at 1:45 we have another session to start. But if we can't do it then we'll try to squeeze you in some other time today.
Okay, and who is this again?
This is Jim Strophis.
Can you spell your last name?
Strafuss.
Feuss.
Frank Ugly Sam Sam. Frank, so Fuss.
Okay. All right. I will give the message.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Can we talk about the one Jim's got up there for just a second?
Sure. I don't know why we can't.
We got it on at 367-239.
Just want to remind you, you only have Friday to set up an appointment.
That's
and
right.
We have to have, by law, we're supposed to have so much time to
understand.
Do that. So we don't have time to...
Understand.
Do any legal mailings at this time?
No, understand. No, understand.
Okay.
Are these properties usable?
Well, that one is not very reusable. The main thing is where the motel is. Mm-hmm. That's a leveled off site. That's one. $7 a square foot. And what's not shown on this is that it's now a corner location of the new Epps Road. And it includes, see that where that building is right there, where the little hut building, the office right there.
Mm-hmm.
They own that.
Right.
They own the motel to the north.
Yep.
Is this the fountain?
And they could probably, although they may or may not
have heard this last year.
Title to both of those countries.
They have no record of us here. They have no record of us here.
Right.
So. It goes all
there's
the way
a little building that's used as an office.
I know.
The stuff on the south side of the road, or the southeast side of the road, is not as usable.
We declined it.
My question is, that property there that's outlined...
Yeah, that's not a real usable property.
That's my thought.
So
the only value it has is
well,
to the motel property.
If not, you're, well, they not necessarily. It. You could use it for some other things, but it's probably worth... $4, $5 a square foot. I'm going to guess James has it on at 3.5.
Well, the north part, isn't that just a hole?
The north part, no, where the motel is?
Right there.
Oh, right there? No, it's a slope. not a hole. And I actually think...
The new road cuts right at the corner.
Right, because I think the city cut a... That's not right. The city cut a connector road from the new road into the back of the motel.
Guys, I know for a fact we heard this case last year.
We definitely heard this case.
I absolutely remember the cut-through road discussion and access and the back road to Stampede.
I remember the picture.
Well, I'm going to ask that we not discuss the case, and I'm going to have the clerk's office redo more research, and let's just change subjects because we can't rehear the same case. And I'm adamant because I remember even the discussions on the corner about that Musical Ducks building, and we compared that value versus, and we said that that may have been undervalued compared to. I remember too much about.
Yeah, I do too.
So let's just not. Let's move on
if
to
it. Is Cole? Could we just ask him? Did you not?
I'll have the clerk do some research, and they're going to field the call anyway.
When you do that. See if that was a BOE action on those abatements last fall.
Okay.
And if that is a BOE action, it serves the same as your BOE.
I'm going to go ahead and, why don't we guys, I'm going to ask for another 5-minute recess. Would you guys please review your minutes, specifically Kelly and Chuck, because you guys were here. And if you
probably remember something.
Well, more so than Danny and Dave, who weren't here.
Okay.
And,
I don't remember Chuck.
He doesn't remember stuff like this very well.
Are we going to be able to avoid anything Friday?
Or I'm trying to. I'd rather stay late an extra hour and a half and get it done today. So.
Or even tomorrow sometime.
Something like that. So, what we're going to do is. Yeah, I remember all that there. I'm not going to. I'm not going to call a recess. We're just going to go on. I have some other things we've got to get through. James handed me a one that's not on the BOE number because we've got a few minutes for the next session, and that is removing a portable building off a property. It's on parcel over in Kirbyville. It's a parcel ending in 002. The assessor is asking to take this item off the tax.
I'm one that took it off because a son-in-law had turned it in on his personal property as a portable building that he actually lives in.
So that's what it is. So
we tagged it to the landowner, and I want to take it off because
it's a portable building. So it's been a personal property.
Right. It's on the son-in-law's personal property.
Double taxation, you said. So I'm going to make a motion.
We have a motion by Danny Strand to remove this portable building.
Can I ask what the tax is on it?
The assessed.
No, I mean, what you got it on personal property for?
It'll be the same rate.
But it was same value? But his assessment will go up to 33%.
No. Living residential property on personal properties is the same 19%. There's no increase.
So it just moves it from real estate owner paying the tax on it to occupant paying the tax.
Actually, it came down to Dad saying, "I want you paying taxes on where you're living in that portable building." And so we had already put it on Dad's property.
We denied it last year.
So we'd have to split it every fall if we did it the other way.
Okay, I'll second.
All right, second by Kelly Trimble. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0.
All right, we'll see the other.
What was the last number on that or something? James?
All my copies with you.
That wasn't one of these.
Yep.
I know. I just went out and visited the site to see how big those parcels were.
And Dr. Rose went over there.
We have a couple more minutes here. I've got another one for us to consider. Just cleaning up the books here. These are going to take some focus here. So here it goes. We have a parcel out of the Branson Hills development, Phase 6, Lot 39, that. We asked the assessor to go out and look at it again, right, James? Because
yes,
it was on the books for $18,800. It looked like it was an odd value compared to all the neighboring properties.
Yep.
He went out there, James, what did you say? It's one of the best lots in the area.
My man said, put their comments on them.
Land looks great, raised to alike properties. And so their suggestion or recommendation is to put the property on at the neighboring property values, which is $103,400, which would be alike all the other properties around. I'm going to give you the parcel number, Jim, so you can pull it up.
Well,
So this is the odd one that was in that neighborhood that we had value so set so low.
Right. Chuck has spotted it and asked me why it wasn't like the neighboring properties.
Right.
And that it should be.
So we have a determination if we're going to raise their value in an increase notice, send an increase notice.
Question, you got any clue, James, why that was left like
no,
that?
No, it had to be something to do with the calculation on the computer.
Well,
it had to be.
They were blowing through 100 lots and right. Just Ubered
up. It just doesn't make any sense on my part. That's why I sent
there,
them out.
There's the property right there. So I think we actually looked at it last Friday. So all the properties around it are, roll your mouse on the other properties next to it, Jim, if you don't mind. Should be 19,650 and down below is what, 18 something? 19,650. So that's what the,
So the roads aren't into it yet.
No. That's an 06 picture.
Yeah, no, the roads are in there.
All right. Yeah. Well, how did we determine it? We just by looking at it on the board here?
We had two parcels to the right. There was appeal. And so we were just rolling, looking at comps around, and we realized this one was the odd one sitting out.
Can we do that at this point in time? Are the books closed, or can we raise the value and still send a notice out? I thought that had to be done in notice.
You would have to hear him if he disputed the increase.
In a regular meeting, no. We could hear him in a regular BOE.
Right.
Because he didn't have the normal appeal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, since we're doing it, we can
raise or lower. Is our duties.
I mean, it's only fair. It's only fair that it be raised to what everybody else's is around there.
Not across Bay Hill, south.
Yeah. I make a motion that we raise the taxes to same as all the adjacent properties.
So the motion from Danny Strand is to raise this parcel number ending in 059 to a valuation.
Equal to all the
other one, which is the based off the appraised price. And a second by Kelly Trimble. Any more discussion?
Chuck? That property brought to us, or we just found it when we were looking at other ones?
We found it when we were looking at the other ones.
You found it and asked me to go look at it. I said there must be some reason of steepness or out of the ordinary. And
so I went and looked at it and discovered it wasn't.
103,400 was the valuation should have been set as of January 1st, 2009.
That's appraised value.
Yes.
And that's appraised value. We're supposed to do everything in appraised value. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. So if we get an increase, when it gets the increase notice sent out.
They should get it with.
They will.
With the recommendation.
And then we'll hear that case because they didn't have adequate time to come in.
I missed 2 seconds.
Kelly Trimble seconded it. Sorry, Jim. Okay. We are good? We have about 3 more minutes here. And by the way, the clerk's office is looking one more time and they're going to call the law firm representing the Stampede Inn to see if they remember the appeal process. So we have one more like that, maybe more than one, but here's another one. We have a property on 153 Payne Stewart Drive that the value was set in 2009 at $48,090. The books closed in 2010 at $48,090. Then we have a notice after that to raise it to $118,120. And we need to make a determination if we're going to do an increase on this parcel after the date.
Yeah, you're going to have to go over that again.
Okay,
I'll explain it to you.
Okay, and I'll pull you the parcel.
I'm pretty positive this is HCW's house. It wasn't finished. We put it on. He came before this board last year to take the house off, and you guys took the house off, and it was applied back. And this is that property. Had HCW in it?
Yes, it is. So it wasn't completed as of January 1st, I believe.
Of last year.
So
we had put it on and created.
That's the one he was talking about when he was here the other day.
Right. Yeah.
No, there's two of them. There's a spec home and his home.
Oh, okay.
R-E-C-H or something.
R-E-H is the other one we heard the other day.
That's right.
So it's a run-on to the book.
Because the house is now complete.
Right.
Versus it being taken off last year.
Right. Motion to add it to
was it
tax.
Complete January 1 of this year?
Yes. It was completed. It's actually one of them we might have got right on the deadline and missed.
So we have a motion by Danny to add the structure back onto the books.
Second.
Second by Dave Oliphant. Got that, Jim?
Yep.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. All right, that cleans that up. I'm going to make a motion that we approve the minutes from 7:23, which is last Friday.
That I looked at the minutes and I seen, but that ain't none of my business. Go ahead.
You see something wrong, or you see something incorrect, or you just didn't like some of the votes?
Is that the three? Well, I didn't. It really wasn't the votes, but I thought there was a. There was an issue of. There was an issue in front of this board that was reassessment versus correcting something. And I seen that in those minutes earlier, and I don't have my copy here.
No, I think you asked the question, do we revalue property versus...
Total reassessment versus a mistake.
Right.
And I believe last Friday there was some total reassessment done. And that would be my question to the board. Is that proper to approve minutes where a total reassessment was done?
The minutes are just... Well, all we're doing by approving the minutes is agreeing that this is what the record keeping was. Not so much if the action was accurate or proper, but that's what took place.
Or if you're approving them, aren't you condoning them?
We'd have to, if we're not decided it wasn't right, we'd have to
rescind the order,
rescind it or something,
rescind the motion.
Well, that those two was the only ones I remember a total reassessment done on.
Is this
for this board?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I would get
excited. You could change adjusted values per assessor's recommendation. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
No. Reassessment of the motel.
These are the actual 2009 tax bills. We pulled each one up. There was no
adjustments
for any of them. We can look into the background and see.
Hello?
No adjustments.
They were denied.
If they were denied, we would still have a BOE.
It was a 2-2 vote.
The information.
Okay.
This is the law firm, Wallach Law Firm. He is still unavailable.
Okay.
I had told him our situation, and she requested that if they will not allow him to call in later today, that you do a denial or a no change.
So let's do this. Based off the fact that I think they're going to appeal to the same tax commission, it sounds like. So the stampede in, they can't make it to the time. They're just saying go ahead and deny
I don't think that we can hear the case. And I don't think that we can deny, because I think that gives them legal grounds. We heard the thing last year.
Well, here's the situation. The clerk's done all the research we know to do, and it doesn't show up.
Where did we get into a discussion, and the same picture was up there a while ago, and we had all the, and every one of us remembers it.
Is it possible that...
We'll pull the hard copy of the minutes, not the individual adjustments in the book. That's the next step to do. And we'll have to go line through line through however many weeks of BOE we get. But our process is to enter it into the system, make an adjustment. We have a record for years.
Why don't you do this? If you don't mind, have someone work on that again. I think Danny's right. If we've heard it, we can't even deny it. So... Try one more time.
I know.
I'm going to tell this lady that we will not hear them later on today.
Correct.
And whatever decision will
I visited the site.
And it's a new law firm, so they don't have any record of.
They have no record.
They weren't on the firm last year.
I just threw my minutes at all that stack of.
Oh, we should have.
Do we have any outstanding issue with you?
I mean, I could help do it at home tonight or something.
I could do throw the minutes, but then the question of is it a reclassification of the minutes?
Go stack like that, be a week.
So my motion to approve the minutes died for lack of second, and I'm going to ask Mr. Paulson to give us some legal advice real fast.
We talked about signs on that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. If it's all right with everyone, we're going to go to. BOE number 0065, it's a phone call to Northern Arkansas, and once again, pull up BOE number 0065.
Northern Arkansas ain't Ridgedale, Missouri.
Wait, I was going to say Harrison, but it's 870 area code, it could be anywhere. Then it's Ridgedale. Oh my gosh, it is Ridgedale. I didn't know 870 is in Ridgedale.
I didn't either, and I think that maybe his cell phone.
I thought that 417 is Missouri line. That's hilarious. Okay, purchase price is 124, market value 124. He looks like the purchase date was in June 30th.
Yeah.
Of this year.
It's on the books for $187.
He bought it from Fannie Mae.
Bought it from Fannie Mae. There is a settlement statement included.
And it is Oakmont Hills.
It is Oakmont.
And they did settle on county taxes. I mean, he knows what the... This would actually be a refund to his purchase price if you gentlemen make a move on this.
Well, this means when it was prorated, the bank paid their prorated share of the big taxes, and he's wanting...
Yeah, he won't own the taxes.
He's working every angle.
Oh, we're going to make the phone call.
Which I can understand he wanted to do, but...
Working every angle seems like he's doing something wrong. Being diligent. He's being very diligent.
I'm saying working every angle. He's looking for every nickel.
He's being frugal, you mean to say?
No, not frugal.
Hello, this is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. This is Jim Stroffus calling from the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Hi.
Hi there.
Would you mind if I threw a call to my husband?
That'd be fine. We have you on speakerphone, just to let you know.
Okay, just one second.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm seeing proration of taxes.
On 65?
Different one.
Oh,
the next one's the second thing.
Is there
two properties?
65 is the same properties, and 66 is.
Hello?
Hi, this is Jim.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Is this Jonathan?
Hi, we're all here.
Hi, Jonathan?
Yes.
Okay. This is Jim Stroffus calling from the Board of Equalization. I have you on speakerphone. We have our 5-member board here present with a member of the clerk's office to take. Record the minutes and to record all the minutes. I want to kind of give you the process of the of what's going to take place. Is that in just a few minutes you'll get a chance to state your reasons why the valuation is incorrect. The board may ask you a few questions. Then the assessor may or may not make some follow-up comments. And then later on today, the board will make a decision on your appeal. And whatever the results of that vote will be, they will mail it to you from the clerk's office. All right?
Okay.
And then just a couple things about process for Missouri, because we're having to do this a lot, is we set valuation on the property as of January 1st of 2009. So every other year or every odd year, we do valuation set. So... I see where the property was purchased in June of this year. Even though the purchase price is lower than the appraised price, that not necessarily means a reason for us to lower the appraised value. Okay? If that makes sense. We set it on the odd year, so what we're looking at is January 1st of 2009, and when we do that, we look at sales, comparable sales from the 07 and 08 years to set value for 09. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead and...
In next January, we'll have to do this again?
No, not necessarily. What has happened is everybody's information that's being provided, plus the information and research the assessor's office is doing, is setting values for next year already. And he's made comments that there's some large declines across the county in certain areas, even more than 20-some percent. So... We all realize the economy has taken a toll on the housing market and the valuations. So he is in the process of setting that. So most likely, if your property is one of those properties, you'll see a decrease in your assessed value. And of course, if you don't think it's low enough, then you could come back and appeal again. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Do you want to? I mean, what else? What else can you? You want to go ahead and just state your case?
Basically, the property was originally listed as a commercial property because he was renting it out, and we're owner-occupants, so I was under the impression that was just something that you wouldn't necessarily argue because we're owner-occupants, and for it to be residential tax base versus commercial is automatically lower.
That's correct. Now, we show you as residential on the books. Are you saying it's... higher. What we show is your value of that property, owner-occupied, is $187,000, which was a value set in January 1st, but we also show it as a residential property, not a commercial property.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Maybe he didn't then. I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Okay. Also, on top of that, we live in the Oakmont subdivision. The neighbors directly to the west of us, they bought theirs for $121,500. And the neighbors directly to the right of, or to the east of us, bought theirs for $130,000, I believe. And we've also sent in paperwork to prove that, correct, Ashley?
We did on our particular house, but it was up to them to do it for theirs. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's what they were bought at, and that's our neighbors to both sides of us. They're the exact same house that these were all built on the exact same model, exact same way, same exact features. That right there shows what these actually sell for as of right now, which is a great deal less than $187,000.
Understood. And those numbers are being taken into consideration for his valuation setting for January 1st of 11. So that, I mean, there's a pretty good indication that your evaluation is going to go down to more of the market value or the market right now, which is closer to what you paid. You have a sufficient enough information to do that for next year, but for this year, that's where we are needing to deal with, which is based off of January 1st of 2009.
Okay.
Okay.
So the developer went into foreclosure too.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that does, but I mean, you know, nothing's maintained around our property. There's no longer a golf course. It's all grown up everywhere. So I know that decreases your value quite a bit as well.
It does. It absolutely does. We've actually heard quite a few of Oakmont cases today. The assessors made plenty of notes about the Oakmont subdivision and how the valuation will be decreasing because of the amenities aren't there like they were promised.
Yes.
So that will all help the valuation decrease in 2011.
Okay. So what you're saying is there will be no immediate changes. This is all just based on what will happen in January.
I am speaking as one voting member, but the board traditionally in the past has voted not to approve any reductions based off the information, but then also given direction to the assessor to take that into consideration for his set in the value next year.
Okay. And I think, it's obvious that we disagree with that. We think that it should immediately be changed, and we want you to take that into consideration.
Sure.
I mean, that's our request in our case.
Right.
But by state statute, we have to base values on January 1st of 2009, whether we feel,
right,
that you're right or not. The values you paid for it this year has no bearing on what the property was worth and what was assessed at January 1st of 2009.
That's the challenge.
Okay.
The challenge is we have
development being foreclosed.
Right. Based off the Missouri law, we have to set values based off of what we act at, based off the legislation, and we have to set values based off January 1st of 2009, and I believe the developer was still in business at that point.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're saying that as the law states, no matter what our case is, no matter what, you have to base it off of 2009, even though things have obviously drastically changed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that in the past, there's never been an immediate correction as that is goes against the written law.
Well, if there was sufficient information that could show us in 08 and 07 that your $187,000 valuation was incorrect, then we could make a determination off of that. But we have supporting information showing transactions out there that supports the $187,000 valuation. So that's the challenge, is that we know things have took a dive dramatically since January 1st of 2009. But the law says we have to set it as of January 1st of 2009. So unless there's some information, we have made adjustments this summer, but it's also been because of the applicant showing enough proof that the value was just incorrect. as of January 1st. So that's where we have to, that's the rules that we have to abide by.
So with that being said, like in January 2011, theoretically we will see a drop in our taxes.
You'll see
and not before then?
You'll see a drop in the valuation. The taxes, we don't deal with taxes. That's based off the levies of different entities, but we deal with the valuation. But yes, the valuation most likely will be going down as of January 1st, 2011.
And then the positive side of that is if the value of the property goes back up in the subsequent 2 years, you'll still have your taxes based on the valuation, the low valuation January 1, 2011.
Does that make sense? I mean, it's a two-year cycle. When the economy does turn around, you possibly could ride an extra year of low valuation because of the assessment cycle.
Okay. So when you reevaluate in January, that doesn't really have anything to do with our taxes going down.
Well, taxes are set by levies, and that's not this board's job is not to do the levies. Our job is to set value. So, I mean, theoretically, yes, your taxes should go down by theory, but there's a lot of factors that go into taxation, and that's not what this board deals with.
Yeah, so your taxes are based on the levy times the valuation, but the valuation is only half of the equation.
Right, so we only deal with half the factors, and we don't deal with the other half.
You might have an ambulance district, a school district, a municipality, a fire district. All those things set their own levies.
And those are set based on our evaluation.
Yes, sir.
You said that you had supportive data showing that the developer was still doing business at that time. What was the exact date that the development went into foreclosure?
What I said is I have supporting documentation that shows the values of transactions of houses back there in 08 when we looked at the property, when the values were set. But I believe, I don't know when the...
I think it was sometime in 2009.
Yeah, and we don't have the actual date of foreclosure on the developer. We know it's in 09 sometime, but I don't have the date. All we have is transactions out there in 08 and 07 that support the valuation that you've got right now.
Okay. So you're saying that to go back and actually, as of right now, get the value of our house dropped, we need to show what type of supporting data to show that your assessment of $187,000 was incorrect.
Correct.
We were going to go that route.
Correct. And there is an appeal process. When you get mailed your whatever the vote is, if there's a vote to deny, then there is an appeal process at the State Tax Commission, very similar to this process, where you'll come in, state your case, and then their decision overrules our decision. So, but I can tell you that they're going to be asking for 07 and 08 supporting information.
The date of that foreclosure, Oakmont Bradford's got foreclosed on February 13th, 2009, according to the next appeal coming up before this board.
So February of 09 is when they were foreclosed on.
Gotcha.
Okay.
February of 09.
But if you can, you know, we have quite a few documented sales from 07 and 08 that established the assessor, how he established his values. So if you can find several others that are not foreclosure sales or anything that was in 07 or 08 that showed a lot lower values, but we have quite a few of them that show that the values were up around that area at that time. But you're welcome to, you know, get that information if you'd like on your appeal.
All right.
Okay, yes. Where would we go about getting that information?
The assessor's office would have it. The clerk's office would have it. Probably the assessor's office would have his supporting documentation. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we need to move on to our next scheduled time. Do you have anything else you want to say to the board?
I think that is it for me. Ashley, what do you have?
Yep, that will work.
All right. Well, thank you.
We'll just hope to see what it is in January.
Sounds great.
Okay. And I'm sorry, who am I speaking to? Who are we speaking to?
Well, the Board of Equalization, there's five members. My name is Jim Strophis.
Strophis, okay.
All right.
Gotcha. All right.
All right. Thank you.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ms. Freeslieve, it's Agrippinian.
Thank you.
We have checked the written minutes for all of summer 2009. We looked for the word stampede and the word in. We found...
You didn't do no good, huh?
We found... Radisson?
Wait a minute. It was under something else.
Fountain Inn.
No, there's another name on here. Let me find that number.
I was going to say, look for Riccardi.
Wait a minute.
Write that down for me if you know.
RICCIARDI.
Just let you know.
No, no, no. It's right here in the, I've got it here in the document.
Silver Fountain Inn.
It's misspelled then, because they told me it was Richard Y.
Okay, well, that's the court document.
Whichever. I mean, look on both of them.
Salt Richard Y
is how they spell it.
Here, you know, Cindy, would you, Bob? You can have it, don't you?
Okay.
They were under,
anyway, we've checked the 2009 typed minutes.
Nothing.
We checked the 2009 program, which has the motions. So that's two documents. We have also checked the 2009 after BOE and done it two ways. We did it by parcel, and then we did a name search, and we found nothing. And so I'm not saying something didn't happen. I'm saying I have no documentation to back it up. But we can check this Riccardi and see if it was listed that
way. Is it possible that you
Silver Fountain?
That's just all the stuff.
Is it possible that you all
check Silver Fountain?
Just didn't do any action on it?
No.
No,
we have to.
Be
home,
yeah. They
okay. Email Silver Fountain, not Silver.
Silver Fountain. Okay.
Okay, I will do that.
All right. Thank you, Donna. We have, you know, if they still can't find it, we'll have a motion to deny is what we're going to do. So back to this BOE case, 0065, the one we just got off the phone with.
Motion to deny.
Motion to deny by Dave Oliphant. Second by Kelly Trimble. Hold on, let Jim finish writing over there. All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. The next one at 2 o'clock called in and was listening in to our broadcast. Thanked us for doing that and asked us to go ahead and deny the one at 2 o'clock. So 0066, do I have a motion to deny? I'll make the motion to deny by Jim Strophis.
Second.
Second by Danny Strahan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried. 5-0.
Would you take just a moment and flip over to his second page and look what we've been through? And he has outlined totally what happened at Oakmont.
Oh, really?
So you got flip over the second page.
This on the one we just denied?
Yeah, and it's the same thing we've been saying all the way through Oakman. He's outlined it for us.
Really?
Exactly what happened.
Well, you can use that for
all that work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, we are, Bob.
Yes.
I have a question for you. The question was, the assessor says on three of the actions that were taking place on Friday, you got my focus here?
Yes.
Okay.
Three of the actions that took place on Friday
may have been a reassessment in an even numbered year, and by approving the minutes, we are condoning or supporting the actions of the BOE.
So
if we approve the minutes, we can still go back and fix those if so desired. Right?
Yeah, because anything that happened is going to appear in the minutes. So what happened, even if you undo it with a later motion to reconsider, is going to appear in the minutes because it's what happened.
Gotcha.
It's just a record of what happened. You're not approving the vote. You're just approving that that's an accurate record of what occurred.
All right. So I'll restate my motion to approve the minutes from 7/23/2010.
So just to clarify, approving the minutes doesn't preclude me or somebody from moving to reconsider.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the only you and whoever
the ones who can.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So minutes.
I always want to talk to you about that before.
And we'll have a break in just a few minutes here. So do we have a second for my motion?
Second
by Chuck. All those in favor say aye.
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 Abstain.
Those opposed, none. Abstain.
Abstain.
One abstention, what are you going to do in the minutes? Abstain or vote?
Aye.
Or nay?
I guess I better abstain because I wasn't here for all of them.
Okay, so abstain for two. Motion still carries 3-0.
Aye on all the ones I voted on, I guess.
Motion?
Can we split that?
No, not today.
Have.
Maybe some other day, but not today.
I mean, we're doing
so
that.
Motion minutes are taken care of. All right. We're going to wait a few more minutes on the stampede
nine,
in.
Six and four.
The
this one's 2:30.
Next one's 2:30. We have we promised not to deliberate on the airport, so I'm going to go ahead and can I ask you guys real fast on the first two we had
we
of the day?
We promised not to deliberate. We said if we needed more information, we could call.
Right.
We could discuss it some more now if
wanted. Let me ask you, 0029. That was a no-show, so they're working on rescheduling that, or we're going to do a motion to deny. Why don't we go to 0029 and make a decision on 0029? It was our 10 o'clock. We've had no success in talking to them. And so we're just going to look at the data and make a decision based off the data submitted, because we do have to take action because it was submitted. So once again, BOE number 60029. There it is. It's DeLap, I believe, is the name. It is purchase price was $94,900 in 2005. Market value is $97,900. They are at the foothills at Thousand Hills Condos. It's on the value book value at $121,713.
We denied another one this morning in the foothills.
Correct. We denied one earlier today.
It was like 20.
And there is no supporting documentation.
He has no other reason.
Other than his purchase price was less.
2 years, 4 years earlier.
They're saying it's worth more now than it was when he bought it.
That's what they're saying.
It may have been a fixer-upper or something.
But may have been. He replaced carpet and lighting and flooring.
But they're saying it's still less than what it's assessed.
Right. We have a motion from Kelly Trimble to deny BOE number ending in 60029. Looking for a second. Second by Dave Oliver. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. The can you guys look? Do we actually take action on the 0305, the one at 10:15?
Yes.
Okay, I thought we did, but I just wanted to double check. So all we have left undone from today right now is the airport. So if you want to have some conversation, we sure can. We've got 20 more minutes before we go on to anything else, and we're current on everything else that's submitted.
I know what the law says,
okay,
according to their lawyer.
Okay.
And leaseholds, and I kind of understand it, but there's, I mean, I know we have to go on some things like that, but I also feel that there's got to be some value out there. But I would like to see that the assessor goes back out and reestablishes the rental car lot, the car wash, and the other buildings, and also the tower. The tower is on Branson land, not on Branson Airport.
So fuel farm, car wash, and tower is what they admitted. I wrote down the three things that are on Branson land.
And the rental car
lot. And the car lots across the street, on the left side of the street. That whole car lot, the car wash, the fuel farm, and the tower is all on Branson land, which is actually on the airport assessment.
Which they should pay taxes on.
And you need to make sure those are on for Branson land.
No, tower is actually on the land property, is what they admitted, and they lease it back to the airport property.
And I did not get anything on personal because they many times made reference to my office. They was an exempt organization. And
okay,
that's another thing you got to take into consideration on the other.
Hold on.
If they're exempt, there's a possibility that they are exempt on personal.
Well, how would they be
exempt? No. We're not going to say that they're exempt. It's the value of the leasehold.
There is no value.
They're arguing that there is zero value on the leasehold. They're not arguing that they're exempt on the real estate.
They're not leasing the baggage handling stuff. They're not leasing the ramps that go out to the planes. They're not leasing the fire trucks. They're not leasing the desk and the computer system, their security system, and all the cameras and stuff they've got by Gov's.
That's all personal property that's taxable.
That's all personal property that's taxable.
What about the chain link fence around it?
That's personal property.
That's personal property, too. I mean, they've got high dollars.
Chain link becomes part of the property.
Will be.
Thank you.
here.
When you put a chain link fence
anything
in, you're not allowed to take it when you move it. I mean, if you sell a house that's got a chain link fence, you can't take it with you.
On the IRS rules, though, if I buy a farm that's got fence around it, I can deduct it as personal property at a higher rate than I can get against my farm.
That's the
it is personal property, I believe.
He's here to make sure he wasn't bringing any new properties.
Okay. And we are asked by the State Tax Commission to include fencing.
So on a house that's got a real fancy privacy fencing on it, you don't assess that as part of the property?
Should
be in the value of it. It is in the sale price.
Well, when you get in the sale price that you set in taxes, you go back to that same argument.
So. Just to let you guys know, the clerk has found the Stampede Inn information from last year. They're printing the minutes, and they're going to give me the minutes. So I don't believe we'll be able to hear the case from the Stampede Inn. So just
So we're not all crazy?
Oh, okay. That doesn't prove anything.
I just want to show that I was looking for Bear in their court case over there. They asked to exclude the purchase price and claim that the purchase price was totally irrelevant to the value of the property.
That's on the Stampede Inn?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I get the minutes, we can review them at break and then figure out I think no action may be the action, but versus a motion to deny because so. Anyway, go back to the airport. Sorry about that.
I'm wondering if something I didn't ask, if the bond payments, if the bond proceeds were used in part to fund the purchase of a whole bunch of the personal property. And if the lease on the airport, then...
Well, Kelly, you may know, and I couldn't comprehend why they sold $180 million worth of bonds, but then they sold $30 million worth of private bonds. Now, what did that $30 million do?
Equity.
Okay, is that...
But they didn't sell bonds for the equity. That equity was just...
Those were the investors, the original investors that collected
asset,
that money together.
Right. They just pooled money together and did a profit-sharing deal aside of the...
Patches land is part of that, most likely.
Correct.
The second bond.
No, the two bonds were just bonds for the improvements, but the $30 million that you mentioned about equity was not a bond sale. It was a equity investment.
In order to sell the bonds, they would have had to have some kind of value, and basically they had to come up with some kind of value.
Right.
That's why they were trying to get some of these pay-for-performance contracts and other things.
So sort of like a down payment on a house, James.
Yeah, but I mean, it was inclusive. It wasn't inclusive. It was added to, for what I understood. They sold these second round of bonds later than the first set of bonds.
But it had nothing to do with the $30 million.
Let me ask you something on this. Is when they, because there was a discussion about the fire district having to supply fire protection to the Air Force. So. That was an expense to the fire district. They even have Omaha, I think, is the first responder, which I talked to the fire chief down there, and this is all part of a situation where they have some kind of a legal deal that they have to respond. Omaha has to respond, and Western has to respond. So we have an expense there.
Aren't they on county sewer?
No.
No, not yet.
They're on septic tank?
They have a treatment plan.
And the Taney County Regional Sewer District has... a percentage in the Hollister plant, and GEP bought somewhere around 19%, I think, in that plant. I don't know that that has anything to do with the airport at the present time, but
they're planning. The new developers are planning to connect the main development into that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they even confirmed that yes, that was the case.
But they already own 19. They already own 19% of the treatment capacity.
You know, something that could really hurt this airport. Is if the entrance to Branson Hills goes away here in another 3 years, if they don't get that interchange built.
The where?
The intersection.
The interchange. Right now they've got a left turn, but they've provided for having a...
Not Branson Hills.
No, Branson Creek.
Branson Creek.
Okay, I'm sorry.
if they don't build the interchange, that intersection goes away, and we have to get to it going through Southtown Interchange.
Is anything not associated with the original bond personal property? I'll just put that one to you. Any hangars, any rentals, any fuel up?
Well, I was wondering if a lot of their bond money went to pay for personal, a bunch of personal property.
But okay,
in this case, the lease payments.
Okay.
And it could have went back to paying some of the $30
million. Yeah.
I guess,
but I don't know that any of that's real relevant.
Well, I can see the original bond building the building being in consideration of whether, but the original bond, I'll guarantee you, didn't put the fuel pumps and all that type stuff.
One of the things I just pointed out, based off the argument they placed, they're less than 50% of a bonus value. I mean, they're not even, because they're not even anywhere close. So even if the personal property was involved, based off of their argument, not saying that's how we're going, but based off their argument, and what they presented, they're less than 50% of where they need to be, because you take the bond payments and the operation, you know, and the operational, what they mentioned was way negative too. I mean, it's way more than $6 million.
Yeah, but now that was based on $20 per passenger type thing that they used their account, and they never did answer the question about the bonus value they got from the entities. If that's equal $20, that changes the whole deal, because you're looking at $40 per passenger.
No, the national average is less than 20.
I know, but if their actual is 40, you use their actual.
You can't.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah, but there's no way it's 40.
Well, if they get $8 from somebody and $6 from another.
We don't know what it is. The only way we estimate that is comparing it to other places. Now, we do have evidence that the way they run the place, they may get more per passenger than other airports. So my guess is they're probably getting like 25-ish, but I don't really know.
But that still puts them
way underwater.
Way underwater. If you want to go with the argument, I'm just saying, argument or no argument, their argument is it's way upside down.
Well, it's way upside down, therefore it has no value. The only way it has value is if you can project in the future that it's not going to be upside down, and if the only way it makes sense for them to continue to operate this airport is if they're anticipating at some point in the future.
It skyrockets.
It skyrockets and makes a grundle of money. If that's the case, the lease is worth something.
Right.
And can I go call Steve Pete and verify his conversation? Because we don't have anything from Mr. Bork about they are not going to try to damage the school in any way.
Okay, at break you sure can do that. We can take a recess in just a few minutes. I'm sure he's not going to say anything.
Yes,
I will say that, you know, the money was not there. So by not putting it on this year, it doesn't change Hollister's picture. Hollister still has the same value they had before. It's just if they were anticipating a big increase, but, you know, a school shouldn't anticipate, you know, ahead of time. But, you know, I'm not denying that probably their argument, according to even Bob, that leasehold is probably the thing we're going to have to go by. But I want to definitely state that I would be against putting any personal property in that. Every single thing out there.
That's not bolted down. It needs to be personal property.
It needs to be personal property. And as far as what Danny was stating about the fire district, you know, they're going to have fire coverage but not be paying any fire taxes. But now,
they have their own fire department now. Do you remember that?
Well, but does that fire truck, when he showed me the two fire trucks, one of them they found it out in the woods somewhere and spent like, I forget how many tens of thousands of dollars bringing it up, and it's really a nice looking truck now. But if I'm not mistaken, he said that belongs to the fire department, or does that belong to the county?
Doesn't belong to the county.
It's the fire department. Their fire department.
Well, I thought he said it belonged to the...
I think they got that from Omaha. I had a long discussion with the Omaha fire chief, who used to be the news man for us, and a very nice gentleman, and he wouldn't lead us wrong in any way.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I can't think of his
John.
Name. John. What's his last name?
Well, Bob. Carl Kellogg's husband.
But anyway, he said that that they were contacted, and they were basically forced to supply service as first responders. And I think that he told me at that point, and this is just I think he told me that they had let them have their old fire truck.
No, the problem I have, Dave.
He told me they found this one out in the park somewhere. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know who it belongs to. But that would be personal property.
Well, that's not relevant to the real property value anyway. I mean, we're just setting the assessed value.
I know you're just setting the assessed value, and you're setting off a positive testimony here, and I appreciate everything they said. In the future, there will be a negative property value around that airport. It has occurred at Fayetteville, the big airport, Northwest Arkansas. The decrease in values around that airport has been caused by the airport, it will cause it here.
I will argue that.
It was agriculture before.
When you have restrictions on what you can do in a flyway, you have decreased the value of the property.
Yeah, relative to what it might otherwise
be. A grain silo? Is
property out there has zoomed in value around it.
There will be no houses built on the property I just lost the lease on, the German ranch, in that flyway. There will be no houses built past our planning and zoning boards when it was ready, prime, and everything to put a housing addition in. They will not be that there now because of the flyways.
Okay.
Okay, on the German ranch?
The big German ranch, 5,000 acres I had it leased for years, 13 years.
The German, go up to the north edge of the county?
No, GP Daughters.
Straight
across the road. Yeah, straight across.
Okay, a couple of things real fast. We're going to take a 5-minute recess right now. We'll come back at 2:30 and start. I need you to talk to Danny or Chuck, or you to talk to Danny about this motion to reconsider. Robert's rule says you have to make a motion to reconsider in the next business meeting, so which is this. So, and we only have until today. So,
I have one stupid question about the airport thing. Is there any obligation that whatever we come up with as BOE has to be based on any kind of reason, or can it be completely capricious and arbitrary? Is there any liability to it?
Arbitrary and capricious.
Could we just?
If you are arbitrary and capricious.
Well, I mean, can someone just say, "Oh, I think it's X million dollars. Let's vote to reset it to that." Or do we have to have some sort of calculation where we come up with that?
You're supposed to base whatever you come up with on some evidence.
Okay.
That's credible.
Don't pull a number out of the air.
Well, I was
just
wondering if we could.
Grins and giggles.
Pull a number out of the air that gives them standing to go let
State
Tax Commission deal with it. And because the only evidence we have is James's Costaper's calculation, which we know does not follow what the court says you're supposed to do in valuing a leasehold. And their evidence is guarded and weak and doesn't really tell us anything, but kind of sort of suggests that they're in the hole. And we're all sitting here thinking common sense says that there is some sort of minor value to that lease. If there wasn't, they wouldn't be out there working so hard trying to make it work. They're figuring on some payoff someday, so that lease has some sort of a value. But they're not giving us enough information to really value it.
Payoff comes from the leasehold interest. That's pretty simple.
Sometime I'd like to ask our attorney how he reads what they presented to us. I mean, what's
the burden of proof?
We've got law, don't we? I mean, don't we have always?
There's no presumption that the assessor is correct. However, the burden of proof is on the complainant. And have they shown us, by a preponderance of the evidence, more likely than not, that their valuation is correct? And you can totally discredit, if you so choose, you can choose to disbelieve their appraisal. Basically, you have to go on the evidence that was presented. Whatever evidence was presented.
Or other evidence we come up with.
Or other evidence that you come up with sitting here and discussing and deliberating and come up to with the best decision that you can. I mean.
Okay, time out here.
Okay.
Are we going to take a break or not? Because we need to take a 5-minute break because we have to stay on schedule.
Okay.
Recess till 2:30.
I mean, they correctly stated the law.
That's a what?
They